Dancer and choreographer Alvin Ailey was a landmark figure with works like 1960's Revelations, which used spirituals, gospel, and blues music behind his choreography to tell the story of the African-American experience, performed by his diverse Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater, which toured both the U.S. and the world, bringing black culture where it hadn't been seen before. He received the Kennedy Center Honors in 1988, a Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2014, the latter posthumously, as Alvin Ailey died of an AIDS-related illness in 1989. Well, now the documentary Ailey tells the fuller story of his life and work. He never knew his father. His memories were of the cotton fields with his beautiful mother. Earlier on, his troupe toured in one bus, all the staging equipment stored under their feet, unsure how they'd be received in segregated parts of this country. But at one venue, there were 24 people, and then the next night, a line around the block. In France, people refused to leave. The troupe did 80 curtain calls. Ailey director Jamila Wignott is here. Welcome.
Thank you so much. It is really so wonderful to be here.
Also, Judith Jameson, one of America's great dancers, Alvin Ailey's best known. He asked her to take over the company when he died. She's now director emerita. Judith Jameson, welcome to you as well.
Thank you very much.
Jamila Wignott, I just want to start with you. You've pulled in black and white footage, not just of the early Alvin Ailey theater, but of life in the South. What were you constructing here?
So I really think of this film as kind of a subjective documentary portrait. You know, it's not an act of journalism and it's not strictly an act of biography. And what I was really inspired by was Mr. Ailey's own telling of his life story. And I wanted to find a way to allow us to experience his journey of becoming as an artist, as a dancer, and to find a way to place us in his point of view.
Why him now?
Oh, why him now? Why him always? I don't think there's ever a time where his vision and his mission and his story isn't relevant.
Yeah, Judith Jameson, I can hear you saying, why not?
You got it. It's not only why not, it is there another film like this about Ailey? No.
And talk about his impact. He had an outlet of gymnastics, let's say, when he was young, but he saw the Ballet Russe de Monte Carlo, and that was it. He went to dance and seemingly quickly put together the company. You were invited to be in different ballets as kind of the black performer, and then it was, and here's the door, thank you very much. And you talk about working with him. Here you are in someone's company as opposed to a guest artist. What did it mean for you? What was the impact of his putting together his group?
He protected us. He was the great protector, not only being a genius and a caretaker of our spirit, because dancers can be fragile at times, most performers can be, but have the strength that is necessary to put a phenomenal performance in front of you. And he protected that and he nourished that, regardless of whether his generation was in station wagons, my generation was in buses. So I got the good part of things.
There's a picture of you in the film. I think it's you, kind of knocked out in a bus seat, your head against a window.
You know one thing? I wish I knew who in the world took that picture. Because they got me ripped. I could have been drooling, you know? I mean, I was going like, Jamila, did you actually put that in your film? You did. Thank God it's quick.
But it spoke to this life on the road, you know, with the light boxes under your feet.
Right.
When it all first started. We do, Jamila, see Alvin Ailey at work quite a bit in the film. In this one scene I want to hear, he's working with the dancer, the woman in the black dress, in Masekela Langage. And we understand this drew parallels between apartheid in South Africa and violence in 1960 Chicago. And she's flinging herself on the floor in torment. Let's listen to his directions.
Let's try the... I want to feel like you're in jail, like you're behind bars. And I want to feel all the anger and the cutting. I want to feel like you're being pressed down when you take the arabesque. I want to feel a sense of cursing at the outside world. Yeah, let's try it again.
And she does. And boy, she now slams pounds the floor with her fist. And Judith, he used you to first choreograph this. So a little of you is in there as well.
That woman was really based, and the characters in Masakela Langage took a little bit of our personalities, our frustrations, our happinesses, all the things that Mr. Ailey knew about us, because he loved learning about people, what made you tick and your core. And he would pick up on those things when he was choreographing. So that woman was, as you saw her thrust herself on the floor and bang on the floor, and he explained the heaviness of it. It was me on tour in a bus, 6 weeks of one night stands, and you will end up with a part of that character in you anyway.
Yeah. And Jamila, you have a Greek chorus of voices throughout, choreographers, dancers, commenting on what's happening. And one of them says that they think that, in fact, characters like the woman in the black dress and others were not just, you know, reflecting their own experience. They were often him, Alvin Ailey.
Yes, that notion of dance as catharsis is something that Sarita Allen tells us in the film, that, you know, by her lights, it felt to her in working with him that, you know, each of these characters maybe originated in a very personal place, that, you know, Mr. Ailey might be working something out. He then is asking that dancer to bring themselves into this role as well. And I think for me, as a person who came to Ailey just as a fan, I think that's the thing that I feel on the stage, is this immediacy, this urgency, this sense of real life that takes place. Yeah. And I think you see that in this marriage between, you know, Mr. Ailey's maybe original ideas, but then so much of what each of his glorious dancers are infusing into those roles.
That was what was so beautiful about working with Mr. Ailey. And that's why the rehearsal part of your learning a dance is so intimate and so sensitive and so spiritual, that I think it's a very sacred place. You're sharing these things without interference.
You know, Judith Jamison, I did want to ask you, we see the collaboration, but it's once dancers seem to have a grasp of the choreography, how do you get it initially? These are so complicated and deep. Does he go through with every dancer, every step? Is there something like a score, you know, that musicians get?
Oh, my goodness. It's like fencing almost. Not that violent, but with finesse. Let's put it that way. And you are so open to receiving on either end. So it's like a dance, quote, dance that you're doing. And somebody's leading, somebody's following. But Mr. Ailey was always leading. And you would just succumb to his genius as far as movement is concerned. And then as you move, you would know if you're on the same page. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. We've spoken about his reflecting, you know, Black American life. But at a certain point, as you lay out, Jamila, he resented being categorized as that. Let's listen to a little of him speaking about that.
The problem is that if you're a Black anything in this country, people want to put you into a bag. People sometimes say, well, you know, why is he doing that now? Why can't he stick to the blues and to the spirituals? I'm also a 20th century American, and I respond to Bach and Ellington and Benjamin Britten and Samuel Barber, and why shouldn't I?
Jamila Wignott, you very carefully lay out how lonely he was at times, how insulated he was, how he realized he was being used. At one point, someone says, well, you know, we had the Alvin Ailey Dance Theater. We're done. You know, civil rights is fixed. Reflect on that.
I think the thing that I really related to was this sense that, you know, it's not that we don't want to be categorized as Black people. It's that the meaning that white society then ascribes to that, the box that then white supremacy puts you in, that tells you, well, then these are the places that you can exist. I think for Mr. Ailey, he should have access to everything. He should be able to choreograph to anything. He should be able to use whatever music he wants to use. He's an artist. The whole world should be open to him. And there's a way in which it's like, oh, but we have other people to choreograph to classical, you know, music, to, you know, odd avant-garde music. So what we need from you is to do this one thing for us. And I think what he resented was the limits of that. And then, yes, very much this tokenization that happens. And I think at his time, I would argue, Miss Jamison, even in your day, there is this feeling of there can only be one.
Well, you know, he never really made us feel that, you know, we couldn't do anything we wanted to do. When we got on stage, we were there to be excellent in whatever we were doing. And he gave us such a variety of things to do that it was called dance. You know, it was just called dance, concert dance. And you got up there and burnt up the stage and didn't leave anything for anybody else who was coming in after you to dance on, because you had already done it all, you know? Yeah. And to this day, it's still the same way. So he left the door wide. There were no limitations.
Judith Jameson, former executive director of the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater, but of course, one of America's great dancers. And also director Jamila Wignott, her new documentary is Ailey, about the life and work of dance great Alvin Ailey. Thank you both so much for talking to us about it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ailey opens in select theaters nationwide August 6th.